It's time to break the silence and open up the dialogue around the topics of miscarriage and baby loss.
No more shame, no more taboo. Let's ditch it for the sake of our children.
The ones who are, the ones who will come.
And in memory of the ones who never came to be.
This is the Worst Girl Gang Ever podcast. Hello and welcome to this special episode of the Worst Girl Gang Ever.
Is it special? What would you say special?
Well,
different.
Different episode of the Worst Girl Gang Ever. We haven't got a fancy guest. It's just us, me, Laura,
and me, Bex.
Oh, welcome to the podcast, Bex.
Thank you so much for having me. Grudgingly.
Basically, we have a little gap in our podcast schedule, and so thought we would come and have a natter to you ourselves.
Let's have a natter. I was thinking, we haven't sung for a while. What's your favourite song? Should we sing?
Favourite song is Walking in Memphis.
Is that your favourite song?
You know when you went to Memphis?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Recently, what was it? Last autumn time.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of anything worse than what you did when you went there. But I was jealous that you were able to walk down Beale Street.
Yeah. Walking with my feet turned real up a bill. I don't know the words.
Oh, see, I know every single word. I think that would be my karaoke song. Would that it? And Five, Everybody Get Up.
Oh God, yeah.
Probably the only two songs that I actually know every single word and every single sort of rift and, yeah.
Yeah, mine is Gangster's Paradise, Julio.
Tune.
Yeah.
Showing your age, though.
Well, you know, we're both... Oh, no, we're not. You're not 40 this year, are you? You're 40 next year.
Yeah.
I'm 40. 40 this year. Don't know what.
40.
Fucking hell. Yeah.
Good times.
Good times. Anyway, should we get down to business?
Oh, let's get down to business.
To defeat... the Huns.
I don't know the rest of the words for that.
China sent me daughters.
I'm glad you do.
When I asked for sons.
That was beautiful.
You're the sad.
Oh, God. Skip forward 30 seconds, people. It should be done by then.
Oh, I love that.
So we just recorded a podcast for somebody else, didn't we?
We sure did, yeah.
It's not often that we get to go into detail of our own experiences.
No.
And it was, it's funny, because we tell our stories quite a lot, and we normally tell them very briefly, me more briefly than you. But
I don't know what you mean.
We went into the details this time, and I don't know, it's strange, isn't it, taking yourself all the way back there.
Were you amazed that I didn't cry as much as I usually do?
Yeah, it was. It was only once, I think, was it?
It was only once, yeah. Yeah.
Very good.
And it was actually, not very good. Crying's all right.
Yeah, no, but I'm amazed, basically.
Yeah, kept it together. It was actually at a point where I don't usually talk about that when I cried. Mm. And it took me by surprise.
Well, it's not coming out until end of April, but when it does, we'll share it with you.
Mm.
I guess it's got us thinking about the things that helped us and got us through when we were in the depths of grief.
Yeah.
Initial darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what the Worst Girl Gang Ever is all founded upon, right?
Yeah, for sure. Initially after the whole podcast and Instagram page and Facebook page and Facebook support groups and stuff, we did the courses, didn't we? And we put the reason that we did the courses was because we wanted to create something that would have helped us during that time of need. And we didn't, having such different experiences, it was interesting that it was the same things that we felt would have helped. And actually, to all intents, I know that your experience was going on for a lot longer before I met you, but to all intents and purposes, it actually did help me. Because a lot of what we have put into our courses, we were doing together without knowing, you know, like the community feel. And we created this community. Like, I'd only just lost the baby when we created The Worst Girl Gang Ever. You know, it was literally a couple of weeks later that I wrote about it. And then I think we released our first podcast in July and I lost the baby in May. So it was so fresh and new that actually creating that community and realizing how many people were going through it as well, for me, really helped destigmatize the experience that I could, the stigma that I could have felt, and also created that ready-made community that I am so blessed that I was able to step into and feel the warmth of so soon after my loss, which I feel so sad that you didn't have that same level of community and validation.
Yeah, well, that's what spurs us on now, though, I guess, isn't it? I think community is one of the most important things for surviving this, and you know, plays a real vital part of recovery. But then the other things that we wanted to bring to the table were, well, for me, I saw it as distraction, but actually it is just filling that emotional toolbox and focusing on other stuff not related to loss that broadens your thinking and helps with not becoming, or, you know, not being stuck in that pit of grief.
Yeah, I think creating resources that you can pull on when you're in those times of need is really helpful. And I know I say this all the time, but I say it all the time because it's true. You can't help the way you feel, but what you can do is work on yourself, and the way you feel will change. And that, I think, is true across a wide variety of experiences in life. And it's certainly that something that I've put into practice through more recent traumas, like the end of my marriage. And it's and you know, and drinking, actually, you know, the end of my drinking. And I think that for me was the biggest step in recovery, because you can't help the way you feel. And when grief hits you, and when the after effects of trauma hit you, it's completely devastating. You don't know which way is up. But if you can use those tools that we bang on about so much and implement other things in your life, then you do slowly start, the way you feel slowly starts to change. And it's incremental, but it does happen. It certainly has happened to me through numerous different experiences now. And I don't know where I'd be in my life now if I didn't have the power of what we've learned and what we've facilitated behind me.
Yeah, it's so true. I remember you asking me in a podcast episode way back when, how would you have dealt with that situation differently? I think it was, we were talking about the ugly feelings. How could you have dealt with that differently? And I thought about it for a while and I was like, I honestly don't think I could. I think that situation that I was in, I could not have handled it with what I had, my strength, my resilience, my resources. What I had at the time, I couldn't have handled it any better. But in hindsight, what I could have done is, and what I did eventually do, what it was that got me out of those depths of despair, was other things unrelated to baby loss. Just things that made me feel normal and better and more alive. Basic stuff, real basic stuff. Like, you know, I used to say, yeah, I'll play netball on Tuesday. Yeah, count me in. And then Tuesday night, I'd say, oh, I can't come. I'd make up some lame excuse. Or I would say, yeah, I'll meet you for a cuppa. And the last minute, I would cancel. I'd find all the excuses under the sun not to go out and walk the dog. And instead, I would sit and binge watch telly. But what I needed was to fill my life with other things. Because then, and when I did do that, the grief didn't feel so big.
Yeah, and heavy.
Yeah, and I guess that's what this is all about, isn't it? That's what everything that we provide, that's what it's all about.
I think it's really difficult as well, because there is this huge, and I'm not saying this in a derogatory way at all, but there's this huge message to go with how you feel. Like, you know, if you don't want to go out and walk the dog, then don't. If you want to snuggle under the duvet, you do you, you know. But I do think there comes a point where we have to force ourselves to do things slightly outside our comfort zone that we don't feel like doing, because that's where growth only happens, where there's discomfort first, in my opinion. And for me, it's stuff like, as so many people know, I do CrossFit. I do. I don't know if I mentioned it before. But for me, I didn't want to do that. And that's something I started doing after Rob and I separated, and I didn't want to do it. And I was, but I made myself do it. I got up and I got out, and actually there's an amazing community within my CrossFit that really, really held me while I was going through all this shit. And, you know, I would just turn up crying and they would still accept me, and I'd still get stuff done, and I'd get out the house and I'd spend an hour not having to think about how sad I was and how logistically my world had completely changed and all that stuff. And I think there is such a desire to hibernate and go into yourself and isolate yourself, because the prospect of going back into that world that has let you down so fucking badly is so frightening, and so the unknown entity of who you might see and what you might come up against is so scary. But actually, if you can make that brave decision to face the world again, it takes a little bit of that fear out of it. And you don't know, you might find some comfort in doing that. In fact, I think what it did for me was restore a little bit of my confidence, because it meant that I knew I could do it. Mm-hmm. And knowing that you can do something goes some way into building back a bit of the confidence that you've lost. Certainly that's how I felt.
Yeah, we hosted a Mother's Day mini course on Facebook, didn't we, last weekend?
Mm.
And one of the challenges on there was for people to think back to their lives pre-loss and think about something that they used to enjoy but don't do anymore. And the challenge was to step back into it, have a look, go back and play netball, go back to the gym, or, you know, jump in the sea, go sea swimming, whatever it may be that you used to enjoy. So maybe that's something to think about. But the other thing that we asked people to do was to begin to research or sign up for something new, something you've always wanted to do but never really had the balls to, have always felt too nervous, have always not been confident enough. What would you do if you could take up a new hobby? What would it be? I've always liked the idea of being creative, but I never really am creative. Like if I try to do something, it always ends up being a bit shit. But I like the idea of it. So maybe I should think of something creative.
Yeah, you should. You so should. Like, there must be stuff like clay. Working with your hands, I think, is quite good. Cool.
You know what I really like? You know those people have hanging plants in this...
Macrame.
I like the idea of that.
Yeah.
Just doing knots, isn't it? I can do knots.
I don't know.
Well, I'm going to look into it.
Look into it, mate. Keep us posted. I really
now you know what your 40th birthday present is going to be.
Oh, fucking hell. A macrame hat.
Yeah.
I really like the idea of like circus and like trapezes and silks and just cool stuff like that. I live near Brighton, so I'm sure it's all very accessible.
Yeah. Well, tonight when you're sat on the sofa watching telly.
I'm actually going to the cinema solo tonight by myself.
Again.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
What are you going to see?
I'm going to see the National Theatre Cinema recording of Vanya with Andrew Scott.
Mm.
It's quite highbrow. Check on.
Means nothing to me. None of those words that you just said, I have no idea.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to take myself to Brighton, Odeon, by myself, a family bag of Maltesers, probably eat them all before the trailers are done.
And just
enjoy that, following my CrossFit session that I've got booked in at 5:30.
Ah, very good. Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Get out there.
Go for it, girl.
So, the Warriorship, we wanted to come and tell you a little bit about it, didn't we, Bex? And in case you're already going, why? We don't want to know about a fucking ship. The Warrior Ship is our online membership for warriors in this community.
It's packed full of stuff. So we just want to tell you about some of the stuff. All of the content from all of the courses that we ever run is in the Warrior Ship. So there's loads to get your teeth into.
And we are also developing modules for what happens after.
But not only that, we've also got a ton of educational workshops running once a month. In the coming months, we have got body positivity workshop, gratitude workshop, and loads more.
And on top of that, we also have a resident mental health specialist. And on top of that, as if that wasn't enough, there's 13 events every month. And there's stuff popping up all the time as well that other people are organising that you can be a part of. So it really is thriving.
And all you have to do is head to the link in our bio or visit our website, and you can be a part of this too.
We'd love to see you there.
So you might know we've been running Trying to Conceive After Loss courses for the beginning of the year. Back at Christmas time, we ran a support course for those in the darkness of grief. And we think it's about time that we hosted another one. It was so well received, and such a wonderful group of friends have come out of it. And actually, we're going to meet them in Manchester next month, aren't we? I'm quite excited about that. Have you seen the Airbnb?
Yeah, it looks swanky AF.
God, amazing.
Yeah. It's going to be just a really intimate course. And what we're going to take you through is that building up of an emotional toolbox, everything that we've talked about. I mean, not just stuff that's going to get you out and about, but also stuff that you can do at home, like journaling and things to think about for your mind, for your emotional health.
We have got, well, the course is that it's 4 weeks long. And so every day you receive an email where you have a little bit of a natter from us, and then some resources or a task or a challenge or something to try or implement or look into that day. And we cover all sorts of things. We have got nutrition covered, how to look after yourself and nourish yourself, journaling, like you said, a few pieces of information that you may find helpful, and practices to try, such as meditation and tapping and breath work. And then we do a few bits on looking after yourself, your self-confidence, your body positivity or neutrality, or just not hating your body, it should be called, relationships, and other stuff to just make you feel good.
Yeah.
So I really love running the Trying to Conceive After Loss courses, but these ones, the support courses for the initial stages of grief, are really, really special. It's quite nerve-wracking coming along, isn't it? So the people who arrive, some of them have only had losses in the last few days and weeks, some of them it's a few months up to a year, but everyone arrives feeling incredibly nervous and quite
vulnerable. Do you know what, we do this thing called the thermometer, which Laura made up.
Mm-hmm.
And at the beginning of every Zoom call we say, where are you on the thermometer? And then you put your thumb up, on the middle, or down. And I don't think we have ever had a call where people haven't left feeling better than when they arrived.
No, we had a call the week where people didn't want to come, and they forced themselves to come, didn't they? They, you know, like, oh, I'm having a shit day, and I don't feel up to it. And a few people didn't come, but the ones that did, I think, made the ones who didn't feel a bit envious that they went, because everyone said, oh, I'm so glad I came tonight. I feel so much better for having a chat with you ladies. And it's just, I mean, it's what we were talking about at the beginning of the podcast, the power of community, being surrounded by people who absolutely get what you're going through and how you're feeling, and being able to laugh and cry with the same group of people, it really does create a lovely friendship and relationship.
Yeah, and like we were saying on the podcast that we just recorded, It's like you're sort of in the safety of laughing amongst people that know that because you're laughing doesn't mean that you're over your experience, because you don't, as we all know, you don't get over your experience. You learn to live with it and you learn to move forward, hopefully. And that there's this sort of common misconception that if you show any sort of signs of happiness, that people will think that you're over it. And actually, there's a real liberation in being able to explore all emotions amongst people that know where you've come from and what you've been through, even if they don't know the exact details of your experience. You know, we're all in this same storm, that we all know this pain that is like no other. We've all been to the gates of hell, and we're somehow still existing. So actually, to be able to explore those feelings of, and all feelings, not just happiness whilst knowing that you're not over it, but the ugly feelings as well, the guilt and the shame and the remorse and the anger and the bitterness and the all of that stuff. It's so powerful to be able to navigate all of that alongside other people that are in a similar situation. And that's the power of the WhatsApp group that we create as well, isn't it?
Yeah, the WhatsApp group is used for, all sorts of chat related to loss and triggers and difficult days in the calendar, but then also loads of random chat as well. It's just very special, like you said, to be talking to people who don't think that you're all of a sudden over it because you're planning to book a holiday or whatever it may be. I just wanted to read a couple of reviews from the Christmas course, because I think that, I'm incredibly proud that we've created something that people have found so useful. But also, I think if there's anyone out there who's thinking, it sounds like it might be good, but I'm not really sure if it's for me. So here we go. This is from the lovely Katrina. She said, I find it so incredibly hard to admit that I need help or can't do it on my own. And you, Bex and Laura, have given such validation to my feelings, which I 100% never got from 99% of the healthcare professionals I came into contact with. And permission for me and others to feel like it's okay to say, I'm not okay and I need some help. I don't feel like the same person anymore, and I still have no idea how to rebuild myself most of the time. But the gang, this group, and the course is such a comfort in feeling that there might be a way to feel like me again. The daily emails are such a reminder that we're not on our own, and I find it so useful to have a daily task to focus my mind on a way that might reframe things or help me manage some of the day-to-day challenges. So a massive thank you and massive thumbs up for the course so far and this amazing support group. Lovely, isn't it?
That's so nice. Yeah, really lovely. And the great thing about the group is that also it's like a support group in your pocket, because with the WhatsApp group, we've had texts from people that have literally been at work, been triggered, gone to the bathroom, sat in the toilet and text the group and said, oh, I don't know what to do. This has just happened. And within, you know, seconds almost, people are pinging back going, okay, this, try this or try this, or, you know, we've got you, we're here for you. And I think that is so nice, because just that knowledge that there's people there who've got your back is so powerful when you don't necessarily get that from your nearest and dearest, if they haven't been through similar and they don't know what you're experiencing.
I mean, that really sucks. And we mentioned this on the podcast that we just recorded as well. But when your usual go-to people can't be there for you in the way that you need them to be, through no fault of their own, usually, I might add. And, you know, although they will try, they often fail in making you feel much better. But that's really bloody difficult. So you open up to your mum or your best mate or whoever it is that you usually go to, and what you get back from them doesn't help, and often will cause you to take a step back, and then you're left with your thoughts and your feelings with no outlet. It's incredibly difficult. I mean, some people are very lucky and they do have people in their lives that do give them what they need in these situations, but for most they don't. And yeah, it's just, it just makes the isolation and the loneliness even worse. But yeah, that's where the gang comes in, the gang that gets it.
Absolutely.
So we're going to be running this course after Easter. It starts on the 15th of April,
Yep.
and we will be promoting it on our socials next week if you're listening to it on the day it comes out. So until then, as our listeners to the podcast, to show our appreciation to you for coming back every week and listening to our ramblings, we are going to pop a link in the show notes that will give you access to get on the course a week before we openly promote it to everybody else. And we're capping the numbers. There will only be 20 spaces on the course. Last time it was snapped up pretty quick. So if you want in, you need to click the link in the show notes. And our advice is to get on it quick, because once we open it up to socials, then yeah, it would be snapped up pretty fast.
Is there anything else we want to cover?
Well, I don't know. Ask me a question.
Oh my gosh. How old were you when you lost your virginity?
Oh, this is a good one.
You can't remember.
I can remember, but my mum sometimes listens to the podcasts.
Oh, okay. Hi, Maria.
Too
You don't have to.
young. Too young. You?
Too young.
Okay, cool. I'm glad we clarified that.
Yeah, sorry, that was an
You know,
awkward
we should
question.
do Q and A's on the podcast. We should get people to write stuff in, like an agony aunt thing, or ask us a question.
Let's do it on our stories this afternoon.
Okay, and then at the top of every show, we can answer some questions. Or at the end, do you remember we did a podcast once for someone else, and they asked us at the end, oh, I know who it was. Do you remember we did that Motherhood Exposed with
Yes, the lady in Dubai.
yes, and
Yeah.
then she asked us at the end, there were three questions, and it was,
Oh, there was definitely like, who's your favorite person? Who would you go to for a meal with?
okay, yeah.
What woman?
Yeah, you said me.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
I did not.
You did.
I would never in a million
Oh, sorry if I just hurt your
years.
ears.
I said Michelle Obama.
Yeah,
But
you did.
I imagine you were a close second, mate.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
What are you having for dinner tonight?
Nothing. Maltesers.
Maltesers. Oh, of course. Well, I tell you what has happened to me. So we usually do gusto,
Oh, yeah.
just because it takes out the old stress of thinking what to cook, buying the stuff to cook, measuring out the ingredients, thinking, oh shit, I haven't got any fucking tahini paste. We can't have that now, or whatever it may be. And you get sort of different dinners, and it's quite nice. It's very
We're
easy,
not sponsored by Gusto, by the way, although this
and it's
sounds
not
like
very
we are.
expensive. But I saw someone the other day had a HelloFresh
Oh,
cola. So I
yeah.
thought, oh, I'll pause the gusto for a while and try HelloFresh. Oh my God, I don't know about anyone else, but HelloFresh are a nightmare.
Oh dear, we're not sponsored by HelloFresh either.
I've
Clearly,
had
never
to
will
cancel
be.
and go back to gusto.
Did you?
Yeah, they're just useless. Useless.
My gusto for 2 weeks running delivered to the wrong house.
Oh.
So the first week it happened, I complained, and then they were like, oh, I'm really sorry, it won't happen again. Second week it happened, I got the email saying we've delivered. So I looked like I live in the middle of nowhere. So I was looking in like the log shed, I was looking around the back. No. So what I decided, I live in a tiny village. So what I decided was to drive around the village to try and find my gusto.
Did you
And
find
then
it?
yeah, I did find it. I found it at a house down the road with a quite a similar name to my house.
Okay.
And, but it was getting dark and the gusto was on the other side of their gate. So basically what happened was I was wearing a jacket with a hood, but I had the hood down, but I climbed through the fence. It was like one of those like two bar fences. I climbed through the fence, but when I was climbing through, the fence pushed my hood up like over my head. And then as I climbed back, I realized that in effect, I was a person in the dark with a hood up, stealing someone's
Steal
purse.
a gusto box.
Yeah. It did have my name on it, though.
Yeah. So the second week, the second time that happened, was it at the same house?
The first time it happened, it just appeared on my doorstep, having been opened 2 days later.
Oh. Oh, had anything been taken?
No, I still used everything.
Good. I'm going to do some polls on stories about Gusto and HelloFresh.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe
Yeah.
we could reach out to them, see if they do want to sponsor us. Don't
Not
let them listen to
HelloFresh.
this episode, for God's sake.
No. Well, yeah, so I don't know what I've got for my tea. It's some HelloFresh shit.
Oh,
No,
okay.
the food is good. The food was good. It's just their website's really messed up and their app's rubbish. And I was meant to get two free desserts and I didn't. That's the main thing.
That's the main thing, isn't it?
As
When you're
soon as
promise
I signed
pudding, there
up
isn't
for
any.
two
That's
free
not
desserts,
okay.
not on.
Right, I feel that this podcast is actually getting quite boring for the
Yeah,
listeners.
it's going downhill.
Yeah,
We should
so
leave it there.
yeah, okay.
Cool. All right. Well, enjoy your Maltesers and your weird film.
Thank you. Enjoy your shit HelloFresh.
Right. All right. I'll chat to you later. Or
Yeah,
what?
TTFN.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.